Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit olathekia.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. We'll talk some football. A little bit about the quarterbacks coming up in the draft. Probably ask him about the Kansas opening, Nate, since you're yelling at everyone about it.
You can ask about his buddy Rick Neuheisel.
Temperamental? Well, you can. I'm not.
I think I dislike Rick Neuheisel more than...
Wow. What... Do you see what a red ass he is today?
I don't want him anywhere around my program.
Dealing with him is a lot for me today.
You got into my skin with that today.
My job is to push buttons.
I read you a tweet that someone else... You know what I want you to do? March down the hall, go find Corey Anderson, and I want you to yell at him.
I play music and book guests. That's what my job is, not to control Nate. Good luck with that.
Let's talk to the coach.
I'm like a wild stallion.
Coach, I'm sure you dealt with... some emotional players. Can you calm this kid down? He's all over the place today. I don't know what the hell's going on.
Too much sugar.
Right?
So
that's exactly right. He's down in that coffee left and right, so I don't know.
Yep.
So we talked about this in the last segment. So you're walking into this buzzsaw, so let's invite you in. Coach Gary Barnett, by the way, great to talk to you, Coach. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And Jake was, I think, trying to explain to you where he was for a month. How did that go over? Were you able to wrap your arms around that in about 2 minutes?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
He went to a perfect place. And it was, it's Buena Vista, beautiful place out in the, he had some, right on a little property, but it just had mountains all around him and the Arkansas River right there, a spring. It was perfect to do what he did. Jake impressed me with that. I recommended a book for him to read, but I can't wait to read his book.
Well, can we hear the book? What's the book recommendation?
Chop Wood, Carry Water.
All right.
By Joshua Medcalf.
Joshua Medcalf. It's just so good. The Lakers, Phil Jackson would finish every meeting he had on the sideline during the game by saying, chop wood, carry water. And I never knew what that was, but then I got the recommendation on the book and read it. And it's, you know what, I sent it to all my friends. Everybody who wants it, I buy it and send it to them because it's so good. I've got my 13-year-old granddaughter reading it, and I've got... when my grandkids are old enough to read, I've given two of those out, and it's just an awesome book. And it every day I resort back to that, refer back to that book in some manner. So,
well, I'm going to go buy that book this weekend then with that kind of recommendation. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it doesn't take long, but it's so good and just so you just go, oh my gosh, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And it's just about your daily life and how you go about things, but it's terrific.
I will. By the way, your compliments. Jake's got a smile. He rarely smiles. He's smiling from ear to ear right now. So thank you for putting Jake in the good
mood.
Just
ordered it off Amazon.
Now it's your. I'm going to ask you for help in putting Nate into a good mood. He's been yelling at everybody and everything else. And so look, this started very innocently because I read to him a tweet from the host of the next show that had said he had heard from sources that Rick Neuheisel was very interested in the Kansas job. I just asked Nate about that, and Nate yelled at me for half an hour.
Well, first I made a fart noise.
Yeah, and so that's, we don't have to talk about that. Nate made his point for half an hour about how horrible of an idea he thought that was. But I'm curious, with the new coach, or with the new AD coming from Northwestern, where he, you know, oversaw the football program and worked very closely with Pat Fitzgerald, and you know all about being successful at Northwestern. He talked a lot about in the press conference and also on this show about taking a whole bunch of lessons from Pat Fitzgerald and what he did to be successful at Northwestern. And we've had Tim Grunhard on the show say before, Kansas needs to find their Pat Fitzgerald. He loves him too. And he's a Chicago guy. So I'm just curious, Does that should Nate have some hope there? We were very impressed with the new AD when he came on the show and talked with us. But being around Pat Fitzgerald for so long and being around that program and that success, do you think that that could mean good things as he searches for the new Kansas football coach?
Well, it certainly could. You know, it's all about culture. And that's I don't care who you put in there. They've got to understand and be able to create a culture that is the kind of culture that will let you be successful, allows success. So it's that's so important. And that's what happened at Northwestern. It, you know, our transformation within the 7 years that I was there was just enough culture to break through a glass ceiling. And now, between Randy Walker and Pat Fitzgerald, you know, that culture has just grown and improved and intensified to where it literally, you walk into that building and you walk anywhere around that athletic department and there's a culture of winning and a culture of expectations and a culture of excellence. And that's what has to be established. And it's not easy. It's like Casper the Ghost. It just, you know, it's hard to catch it. And sometimes the only way you can catch it is to have somebody who has witnessed it and has been part of the little bit of that building. So in some ways, that could be a really good sign for Kansas. But it's hard. I mean, you have to start from ground zero, and you've got to. The culture has got to infect everybody and everything that touches your players, and it's frustrating. It could be. It takes so much time for that. Inoculation to spread and take hold, and that's your challenge there. You've already had a culture. There's already a culture there, somewhat around basketball, no question about it. But it's got to extend, and it's got to include, be inclusive, and so that's the challenge the new guy's going to have. And that's not unlike what Northwestern's been in some ways. So, and that's pretty recent history there. You know, that's not brand new history. That's pretty recent. So, I mean, it's not old history. It's pretty recent. So. You know, yeah, I think that gives you a chance, but it's leadership and it's culture, the whole thing. That's no matter what you say, from the president down to the AD to the football coach to basketball coach, the culture that everybody works in, the expectations that surround the players, and if you put players with character and some talent in a culture where everybody is saying the same thing to them, sending the same message, and holding them up in the same ways, then you got a chance. But it's culture.
So, Coach, I wanted to ask you about this because you have the perspective on it. One of the possibilities that I've thrown out there myself and I've heard other people bring up is the possibility, since the timing was so off with this coaching change and Les Miles, you know, basically stepping down right as we're getting ready for spring ball, going with the interim coach thing for a year. Baylor did that a couple years ago. Seemed like it worked out for them. The players seem to love Emmett Jones, who's the interim right now at Kansas. I've heard people say that, look, if you go for a coaching search now, one of the challenges is, because of the timing, might be a little more difficult to assemble a staff, so better to go into the season and be able to start your coaching search then. As a coach yourself, how hard would it be to take over and put together the staff you really, really want right now? What do you think of the idea of possibly going with the interim coach before you make the next permanent hire?
I don't think anything's off the table, Nate. I think that anything can happen, and it comes down to your selection. It comes down to who you choose, and you got to get a little bit lucky, and the choice you make, the people he puts together, whether they're going to be open to creating a new culture there or expanding some areas of the culture they already have. Not, I don't know enough about it to be able to give you a specific answer at Kansas. I see from the outside the same things everybody else sees. So I just know that the culture cannot be good, and it's got to be changed. So I think it would be a very difficult decision to make that choice right now, to choose another head coach. He's gone this far. But here's what he can't do. He can't say, well, I don't want to take any chances and ruin the chemistry we got going right now. Well, let me tell you what. You're down as far as you can go, and you take whatever time you need to get it right this time. You can't afford another mistake is the issue. So it takes a lot of careful thought. And I would guess that he would be reluctant to just all of a sudden start throwing new people in there, because he's got to learn the culture himself. He's got to learn, and that's part of the challenge, is figuring out what is wrong. Because when you if he brings Northwestern solutions into the Kansas problems, he's going to miss on a bunch of them, because they're not going to be the same problems. They're going to be similar. There's going to be some of the same problems, but the whole culture is different. Every place is different. So he's got to assess it and then decide what to do. And I think he learned all that from Pat as well. He saw Pat do that. So that's critical. So I think anything can happen, Nate, and we're crazy to sit around trying to predict it, because it's going to be the new AD's creation, this culture, this atmosphere and environment that's going to have to be affected. And what's the best way to do that?
We have Gary Barnett on the line. Okay, Coach, every year before the draft, we love to have you on to talk about quarterbacks. And boy, what a year to talk about quarterbacks this year, because I'm looking at one mock draft that has 5 quarterbacks going in the top 7. So I wanted to ask you about these quarterbacks. Just for example, this is Daniel Jeremiah's mock draft. He has Trevor Lawrence 1, then Zach Wilson going number 2, Mac Jones 3, Trey Lance 4, and then Justin Fields 7. So I guess my first question is, with San Francisco trading up to number 3, a lot of people assumed that, and we don't know what it's going to be, that's got to be Justin Fields. But there's a lot of buzz that they're trading up to draft Mac Jones. When you hear that, what's your reaction if the 49ers did pass on Trey Lance and pass on Justin Fields and drafted Mac Jones number 3 overall?
Well, first of all, a month ago I'd have been surprised at that. But I do know through just some rumors and discussions that some people that I know have had that they traded up to get either Fields or Jones, and the first thought was it was Fields, because I know the quarterback coach at San Francisco really likes him. But Mac Jones's numbers and his quarterback IQ rating is off the charts, and I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised that Kyle Shanahan sees something in Mac Jones that's a career changer. So, everything you read says Mac Jones is who they traded up for, and I've just got this little thing out in the air that I know that quarterback coach at San Francisco likes Justin Fields, loves Justin Fields, but having him fall to 7th would be, there's something in there if that's really happening. He's had 2 pro days, and so to hear you say that one of the local guys has him at 7, that surprises me a little bit. I'd be surprised if he's over Trey Lance, but there must be something there that these guys know. But I think the first 3 are right on. I think that's just exactly what's going on, and the more research you do into this whole thing, you see why Trevor Lawrence is the guy. I mean, he really is the first choice. And as much as I like Zach Wilson, and I do really like Zach Wilson, statistically, you break it down, you go to all the details that these scouts get paid to do so they don't pay too much money to the wrong guy, I can see where it's Trevor Lawrence first, and then Mac Jones, his IQ, his stats are great, but yeah, I think that's probably who San Francisco's going to go with, but, you know, nothing's off the table.
Who would you say is the third best quarterback prospect after Trevor Lawrence? And like you said, you love Zach Wilson. So who do you think the third best guy is?
Well, I just think the versatility of, you know, the kid from Ohio State.
I like him, too. I mean, I don't,
you know,
like, it would surprise me if he falls to seven.
You know? He's so good. But I think he's got a little quirky throw, but, you know, didn't pick it up in the games. The game he played to get to the championship was just one of the most phenomenal football games I've ever seen with a guy hurt the way he was. So I don't know how you don't, Justin Fields doesn't, you know, be one of the top three, but it's very likely he won't be. But you can't miss on him, though, I don't think.
And you talk about, he had 67 touchdown passes and 9 interceptions in his career.
Yeah.
I mean, you went, and like you said, I wouldn't pass on Justin Fields. Maybe in 5 or 6 years, I'll look like an idiot. But I was interested to hear what you would have to say as far as the third best guy. And I'm glad.
I would even say, I think at this point, and I love Zach Wilson, but I would say that Justin Fields would be the number two choice, I would think.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. I think, I love Mac Jones' quarterback IQ, and he'll make you a better coach, no question. But so will Justin Fields. So
where do you think Trey Lance falls in this thing? Like, do you like him? And we haven't seen.
Trey Lance. He just needs a year to study under somebody. I think he's going to be a great player. He's going to be like Josh Allen. You know, he's going to be that kind of player.
Wow, that's. I mean, the way Josh Allen has progressed.
So you like all these guys? Career. You don't feel like there's a bust there. You feel strongly about all these guys. It sounds like.
Yeah, except as you guys know, I'm not a fan of Felipe Franks, and he's down there number 10, so they can move him to 20 as far as I'm concerned. And I think Trask is coming on. I think Trask is going to help somebody. You know, he's a good player. So, and Davis Mills is moving up from Stanford. Trask is from Florida. You know, there's a lot of them out there, a lot of receivers as well. So, just one of those years.
So, you mentioned a word when you were talking about Fields that you liked, that the word versatility. And I've been listening to a lot of podcasts with scouts and things talking about how the trend all of a sudden in quarterbacks, it used to be you were either a running quarterback or you were a pocket quarterback. And now, like in many sports, it's kind of like, why do you have to be one or the other? The really great ones can do all of those things. We see it with Patrick Mahomes here. The young quarterbacks that came into the NFL like Herbert last year, they can run and throw. And when you talk about Lawrence and Wilson and Fields, the kind of concept I've been hearing is that's going to be all the quarterbacks going forward. They're going to be expected to do both. But Mac Jones is not really that guy. And look, hey, the guy that won the Super Bowl this past year, still a pocket passer in Tom Brady. Does it surprise you that there could still be a guy like Mac Jones who doesn't do all those things? Or do you think that's a dying breed? Or do you think that there still is room for that type of player in the NFL going forward?
Well, it's like running the wishbone. You know, when you play against the wishbone, you have to change everything that week. You got to change the way you do everything on defense. And Mac Jones is going to sort of be that way. I mean, he's such a precise player, and he's so smart that coverages aren't going to mess with him. He's going to be able to do all that sort of stuff. And so game planning for him will be different than game planning for all these other guys. So when you get into where most of your game planning is done for the same kinds of players, then things carry over. You know what works against one will probably work for the other, et cetera. So there's more carryover. But when you play against somebody like Mac Jones, in theory now, what happens to you is you have to completely change your plans and how you've been doing things. That's an issue. You can't, you know, making that adjustment in 3 days of practice isn't easy to do. So that's where I see that happening. I think a guy like Mac Jones is probably always going to have a place. But what's helped more than anything else is keeping quarterbacks healthy like Justin Fields and Trevor Lawrence and these guys that can run. You know, before so many running quarterbacks, if you had one, you had to have two, because if you got one hurt, you'd have to change your whole offense to go to the next series of plays. But now, through RPOs, run-pass options, you know, the second option for a quarterback isn't to run, it's to throw. So that's helped, I think, quarterbacks stay alive longer and be able to survive. Active running quarterbacks can survive because now one of the options that they're always going to have is the run-pass option, which forces defenses to have to cover like a triple option. And it's like running the wishbone against them. So now the offense isn't so, you know, dependent upon a quarterback running. They can use his arm during a running play, and that's what's really changed things.
Okay, the other debate that I wanted to ask you about, I've had fun watching on Twitter Bengals fans fight with each other about who the Bengals should take number five. They have Joe Burrow. He's coming off an injury.
Yep.
You want to protect him, and so you can grab Sewell, which looks like a great left tackle prospect out of Oregon, but there's a lot of people, and even analytics people argue, it's more important to get a great receiver like Ja'Marr Chase or Kyle Pitts. If you were trying to put Joe Burrow in the best situation to succeed, what are you doing at number five? Are you going to give him the left tackle to protect him, or are you going to give him the great receiver to that's going to get open and give him a guy to throw to?
Well, here's the way I do that, and I haven't done this, but I would assess really whether or not I have good enough receivers to make Joe Burrow a champion. And if I have good enough, I'm not talking about the top, but good enough, then I'm going with a tackle. And every report out is Sewell will start no matter where he goes, which team he goes to. He and the kid from Northwestern, Slater, both those two guys are ready-made left tackles. They are going to play right now. So it's easy to look at the Ferrari that's out there on the outside, but let me tell you, that Hummer that you need at left tackle is just as important and could be around a little bit longer. So, you know, it's a tough decision, but it's hard to pass on what you know is a sure bet NFL 12-year left tackle.
Yeah, we're hoping for a left tackle out of pick number 31 in Kansas City, and so yes,
good luck.
Right, but I'm with you. After watching the Super Bowl, and like Jake, I'm with you on the importance of
trade up and get.
Right, that's exactly right.
Those guys.
Okay, and finally, you always give us a dark horse quarterback candidate, and let me get you right here. So you had Trevor Lawrence one. And then number two, Justin Fields. Then you like Wilson. And who do you like better between Jones and Lance?
I like Jones.
Okay, Jones over Lance. Okay, what about, and you mentioned the guy I was going to ask you about, David Mills. There's some buzz out there that he might creep into the end of the first round. There's a lot of momentum for him out of Stanford. Is there a quarterback outside of the top five that you like as a dark horse that you think could end up being a good NFL quarterback?
I think either Trask or Kellen Mond. So
Kellen Mond.
I like Trask. He's only done it now for 2 years. I think his upside is huge.
All right, Kyle Trask. We'll write that down. Do you actually believe that Jake didn't watch the Super Bowl and still hasn't watched the Super Bowl? Do you believe that?
That's a stretch for me.
Right. That's
Jake,
a big stretch. Jake,
maybe he did it.
I did not.
You know, here's what I'm going to say. If Jake said it, I believe it.
Wow.
Well, that's a leap of faith that you may not want to make,
you
Coach.
You might want to reevaluate.
No,
that.
Coach, you're right on. I still have not watched it. I didn't have any technology in front of me when I was up in the cabin. I was like I said, I was chopping wood and carrying water.
There it is.
Jake is a purist, guys. That's what you got to understand. He's a purist.
I've been trying to figure out what he is. Now I'm glad you finally told me.
Bingo.
After 15 years, he's a purist. Coach, thank you so much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again very soon.
Great being with you guys. Miss you. Thanks.
You know what? We miss you, too. We got to talk to Coach. Maybe we'll talk to Coach after the draft to see what he thought. So what do you think of that? I'm with him, man. I'm glad he said that. Sometimes I feel like I'm dumb a lot. But I'm like, I don't know, man. I wouldn't pass on Justin Fields. I wouldn't do it.
I'm not a Mac Jones guy.
I'm just like,
I'm not an Alabama quarterback guy.
And look, I don't care about San Francisco. They can do whatever they want. In fact, I'm glad they're going to take Mac Jones. I think Justin Fields is the better player. But, man, that would just – but Coach even said he likes Justin Fields more than Zach Wilson, which is – that's saying something.
That is saying something.
And then maybe I can't get – I mean, Justin Fields, the couple of times that I'd sat down and really watch him from – like he put up unbelievable let's look at his numbers. He had a lot of unbelievable performances.
There was a little bit of a knock on him in terms of big games, but then in the playoffs this year, when they got to the college football playoffs, I think he should have silenced any of that talk. So, and yeah, I do think the mental component of the game, you know, how quickly you process things, what your focus level is, how dedicated you are, all those things matter as much as the talent, but anymore, I feel like there are a lot of guys that have talent across the board that also have the mental aspect of it, too.
Yeah, just because you're a running quarterback and an athletic quarterback doesn't mean you're not don't have a high IQ and high football IQ.
Right. People used to seem to think it meant that, but look around the league now. Yeah, it's look around the league now. Well, no, it used to be like in the NBA, it used to be you were a perimeter guy or a low post guy. And now it's like, you know what? Really good basketball players can play anywhere on the floor. And I think that what they're finding out now, too, is that like any, you know, really good quarterbacks can be good at a variety of things. So.
Oh, geez. I had to remind myself what Justin Fields did in the game against Clemson. You remember that, Jake?
And he was hurt.
You don't remember much.
Remember him taking a giant shot.
22 of 28 for 385 yards and 6 touchdowns.
I mean, he just
ran for 42 yards.
Yeah, that's not bad.
And did it with. You know, after basically being injured.
Didn't have a great game against Alabama, but who does against that semi-pro team?
And I thought if you watch that game, he played really well. He just had no help.
How do you rank those five, Jake? Does that shake you up, what he said? He had Fields, he likes Fields better than Wilson, and he loves Wilson.
I think I flip Fields and Wilson. I think I still like Wilson better, but.
Where do you have Mac Jones?
Fourth.
You like him better than Trey Lance?
Mm-hmm.
But you have Fields third?
I don't know what to think about Mac Jones. I think that's how I'd rank him right now.
And remember what he said about the dark horse quarterback that's not, you know, Kyle Trask or Kellen Mond. A couple of people have David Mills like at the end of the first round. We'll have to see about that. But
I don't know what San Francisco is doing if they're trading up. It just doesn't make any sense to me, but...
What?
Like, why would you trade up to get Mac Jones? You don't have to trade up to get him, do you?
Right,
Davis Mills. Why do I keep saying David? Dave, do you know why? Because I want to say David. What is this, David? Davis Mills.
I still think there's something else going on. I don't think they're taking Mac Jones.
Yeah, I won't be shocked until they do it.
Right. When they do it, I will be absolutely stunned.
And maybe we'll all be wrong, but if I was a 49ers fan, I'd be pissed. I'd like, take Justin Fields.
Right.
But maybe I'm crazy. What would you take if you're Cincinnati?
Oh, I'm getting a left tackle for that quarterback.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Kid out of Oregon.
You don't want Jamar Chase?
Yeah, I mean,
you know,
Jamar Chase is a stud.
Pitts is intriguing.
Yeah.
I think he's going to Atlanta, though.
I think Jamar Chase is a stud. I mean, he's going to be.
Right.
You know, but
what's more important?
I think keeping him healthy is more important.
Locking up a tackle long term, I think you can find awesome receivers.
Yep.
I think you can find them elsewhere.
Like Chase?
Depends
on how good you think he is.
You look at some of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and you're talking about guys, second and third round guys. You know, I mean,
and you can also address it in free agency.
Yeah, I just.
All right.
I think left tackle. A guy can grow with. A guy, you know, he's going to be there for 10 years.
Yeah, and, position has longevity, like we talked about.
That's where I'd go.
You know, Daniel Jeremiah hasn't picked him?
Who? Pitts.
Kyle Pitts.
Yep.
That's
a wild card. That dude is a wild card.
By the way, he has Sewell falling to 9 to the Broncos, and Slater going one pick ahead of him to the Panthers, Fields going 7, Chase going 6, and Pitts going 5.
Maybe this is an emotional decision, but, you know, we talk about how we how bad we want offensive line help after watching what happened to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. That was happening to Burrow every game. He was getting teed off on every game.
But that was, I mean, that was poor coaching, too.
This is also Daniel Jeremiah's.
They were throwing the ball. He was throwing the ball 50 times.
So what?
He's the kid into the league.
Air raid offense.
You weren't going to win. I mean, you were not going to play for a playoff spot.
And by the way, but this is also the same mock draft as the Broncos. The Chiefs taking a corner at 31, which I hate with all my heart.
Right. I don't think Pitts is going five either.
And you never said nothing about Giovanni Bernard.
You know damn well there's more.
Did he sign someone?
Signing with Tampa, and the report was the two teams who were most interested in him were the Chiefs and Tampa.
Hmm.
Well, no, I mean, respond to it.
I'm not crushed. I don't care. That's fine.
So you don't care about that one either?
Nope.
Wrong, sir, because they both have Pitts. That's how you answer that, man.
No, I don't. I'm not fine with Bernard. No, I mean,
excellent receiver out of the backfield.
You just spent a first-round draft pick on a running back.
But just the idea that they were pursuing him, that, you know.
Well, seems to be a theme.
Yeah.
Seems to be a theme.
But when he was released, you seemed like you were interested, but then now that he didn't sign with the Chiefs, like, I don't care.
Yeah,
about
of course I'm going to play it like that.
Okay, that's what I was... trying to make sure I didn't misremember what your original opinion was.
I was surprised when he was 20. He's only 29 years old.
Because it seemed like he was like, yeah, I'd like to take a look at him now. Well, the Chiefs were interested in the Bucks. Oh, so what? I don't care about him. He's stupid.
Right,
like,
idiot.
Take a break now. Back after this anyway. On WHB. Right.